Good morning. Today is Monday, the 23rd of February. My name is John Endres, and this is the latest risk alert from the Center for Risk Analysis. This is a service for CRA subscribers brought to you every Monday morning at 7 a.m. by the CRA, helping you make better decisions. In this week's risk alert, we begin by assessing the rapid buildup of U.S. military assets in the Middle East. We discuss the very high levels of the World Uncertainty Index before turning to the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to overturn President Trump's justification for tariffs. We then update you on the latest South African unemployment numbers before closing with a look at the political turmoil in the Council of the City of Ekurhuleni. But we begin with developments abroad, and in terms of air and sea power, the United States is assembling its largest military force in the Middle East since the invasion of Iraq in 2003. According to defense specialist Robert Pape, around half of the U.S. deployable air power is now being concentrated in the Middle East, and he adds, quote, "Never has the U.S. deployed this much force against a potential enemy and not launched strikes," end quote. In response, the price of Brent crude hit its highest level in 6 months at almost $72 per barrel. On Friday, amidst ongoing talks between the U.S. and Iran, President Donald Trump said he was considering a limited military strike against Iran, indicating he considered around 10 to 15 days the maximum he would allow for negotiations on Iran's nuclear program to be concluded, or, as he put it, bad things will happen. Iranian retaliation against a U.S. strike, should it occur, is likely to target U.S. and Israeli military and civilian assets in the region. In the event, Iran is also expected to try to close off the Strait of Hormuz, through which around 20 million barrels of petroleum products flow per day. This amounts to approximately a fifth of total global petroleum liquids consumption. South Africa is especially vulnerable to rising international oil and fuel prices. With much of its domestic refining capacity having been shut down, South Africa can only meet around 30 to 40% of its refined fuel needs, meaning between 60 and 70% has to be imported. Should the US and Iran enter open conflict, South Africa could feel the shock to global supply acutely, directly via fuel price increases and, in the longer term, through elevated inflation. The African National Congress and a succession of ANC-led governments have long maintained warm relations with the Iranian government, which the US designated a state sponsor of terror as long ago as 1984. This has led to rising diplomatic friction between Pretoria and Washington, D.C., which any military conflict between the US and Iran would escalate. The escalation in US-Iran tensions and legal upheaval surrounding US trade tariffs form part of a broader global environment defined by compounding geopolitical risks. This is reflected in the World Uncertainty Index, which reached a historic all-time high of 107,000 points in the third quarter of 2025, according to data from the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis in Missouri. While it receded slightly in the fourth quarter to about 95,000 points, it remains elevated far above the historical norm. In a time series stretching back to 1990, the previous highest reading was around 56,000 points, and that was in the first quarter of 2020 during the first months of the COVID-19 pandemic. Unlike previous shocks, typically driven by a single dominant driver like a terrorist attack, a financial system failure, or a pandemic, today's environment is characterized by multiple high-impact events all generating uncertainty simultaneously. They include trade fragmentation, major power rivalry, high sovereign debt levels, overlapping regional conflicts, a disruptive technological innovation in the form of artificial intelligence, and institutional stress in advanced economies. Here, it is also worth noting that the rapid recent rise in uncertainty coincides with the US presidential elections of 2024 and the beginning of the second Trump term in January 2025. However, despite record high uncertainty, major equity indices remain positive year to date. Liquidity from earlier stimulus cycles continues to support asset prices, while optimism remains concentrated in technology and artificial intelligence. By contrast, currency and commodity markets are sending mixed signals, leaning towards caution. The US dollar index has weakened by almost 10 points year on year, registering at 98 last Friday. Gold has surged, peaking above $5,500 in early 2026. Silver has almost tripled over the past year, and oil prices are trending higher in anticipation of a possible supply shock. These moves are consistent with a classic fear trade and suggest that sophisticated market participants are hedging against geopolitical and macroeconomic shocks rather than dismissing them. South Africa remains highly exposed to global macro developments due to its commodity-heavy economy, its reliance on exports, especially to China, Europe, and the US, rand sensitivity to risk sentiment, and vulnerability to energy and import inflation. South Africa's business owners should plan for choppy conditions, including higher input costs, supply chain disruptions, and slower economic growth that could reduce the global demand for commodities. Adding to the uncertainty, the US Supreme Court ruled on a 6-3 vote on Friday, 20 February, that Mr. Trump had exceeded his legal authority when he imposed sweeping tariffs using the 1977 International Emergency Economic Powers Act, or IEEPA. The ruling reaffirmed the US Congress's constitutional control over taxation and duties. US importers now have a legal basis to demand refunds, according to Reuters, estimated by some sources at up to $175 billion, and that's almost 3 trillion rand. The court stated that refunding billions from tariff collections was likely to be a mess, but might be required, without making an explicit decision. Despite the ruling, however, tariffs will not return to pre-2025 levels. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent told the Economic Club of Dallas that using alternatives to the IEEPA would result in virtually unchanged 2026 tariff revenue for the US. And those alternatives include Sections 122 and 301 of the Trade Act of 1974 and Section 232 of the Trade Expansion Act of 1962. As matters stand, Mr. Trump revoked the IEEPA tariffs via an executive order on the 20th of February and replaced them with alternatives, including a new global tariff set first at 10% and then apparently raised via a post on Truth Social on 21 February to 15%. This replaces the 30% global tariff previously imposed on South Africa and comes into effect from 24 February. It is scheduled to last for up to 150 days unless modified or terminated earlier by Congress. Separately, tariffs imposed since 2025 on steel products at 50%, on aluminium products at 25%, and on automobiles and automotive parts also at 25% under Section 232 will remain. Turning now to South Africa, the latest quarterly labour force survey numbers show that South Africa's jobless rate has declined from 31.9% in the third quarter of 2025 to 31.4% in the fourth quarter of 2025. While that is the lowest it has been in the last 5 years, the rate is still above the pre-COVID rate of 29.1% recorded in the fourth quarter of 2019. On the expanded definition, which includes discouraged job seekers, the unemployment rate was 42.1%, down slightly from the 42.4% recorded the previous quarter. From a provincial point of view, two provinces that are vital for South Africa's overall economic prospects, Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal, shed 54,000 and 41,000 jobs respectively, and these two provinces are home to around 45% of the country's population. Given its industrial heft, Gauteng's performance is especially concerning. By contrast, the Western Cape recorded the lowest provincial unemployment rate of 18.1%, as well as adding the most jobs of any province, 93,000 quarter on quarter, almost as many as Gauteng and KZN lost. That brings us to the last story of the day. And last week, the mayor of Ekurhuleni, Nkosintipile Xhakaza of the African National Congress, shook up his mayoral committee in a late-night reshuffle. Having been offered two committee positions, two less than the four it held previously, the EFF rejected the reshuffle, joined by Action SA. The EFF announced it was pulling out of the governing coalition, while Action SA national chairperson Michael Beaumont said his party did not see this as, quote, a government we want to find ourselves accountable with. The Ekurhuleni governing coalition government consisted of the ANC, EFF, Action SA and Patriotic Alliance, with 136 of the 224 total council seats. Without the EFF's 31 seats, the governing coalition will be reduced to 105 seats and will no longer have a majority, making the mayor vulnerable to motions of no confidence and placing at risk his coalition's ability to pass a budget. Amidst other threats, EFF leader Julius Malema said his party would reconsider its support for the ANC at provincial level, where the premier, Phanyaza Lesufi, governs through a minority government thanks to tacit EFF support. And the implication here is that disturbances in the Ekurhuleni City Council could lead to disruptions in other councils and at the provincial level in Gauteng. Under such pressure, it is plausible that the ANC will fold and give the EFF what it demands. In this conflict, the interests of residents and voters are irrelevant. That's it from us for this week. We hope you will have a good week ahead and look forward to speaking to you again next Monday morning.